Welcome to Home Education Matters, the weekly podcast supporting you on your home education journey.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Home Education Matters, our journey into home education with Ash. And Ash, I know you've had, we're a little bit late actually getting this out this month because I know you've had a lot of sickness in the house. So has April been a challenging month for you?
April has been a challenging month. Well, we had a really good start to April. And then we had, the last couple of weeks have slowed down a lot, which we're not used to because I think last year and the years before when Ismail was at school, he was always picking things up from school and he tends to get quite sick with things. So he'd have time off school and all those sorts of things. And we've kind of been, we've been really lucky because we've not had the exposure to all the normal bugs and stuff that normally goes around. So we've actually had quite a good long stint of not having any illnesses. So this has really thrown him and thrown the whole family with this one. But we're like I was saying, we're on the mend now, so all good. But yeah, it's taken up. So last week we weren't doing very much learning at all. We were just like in bed, temperatures, taking things at his own pace. But yeah, he was using the time that I guess he did have doing learning without realizing he was learning, which is he's really good at now researching things and finding interest in things. So he was still learning, but not formal learning. And yeah, so but the beginning of the year, we had a really strong start. So it was really nice at the beginning of the month where he was kind of really in a good routine, following his the curriculum that I, and I use air quotes for that, for of what I set. So he was really good at doing that and then also kind of bouncing his own interests off of what we were learning and doing his own research and things like that. So we were in a good place.
So is it just, do you think just the sickness that's knocked you a bit off track? Do you feel that without that you were making, because the last time we spoke, you really had a sort of momentum going to your home education journey?
Yeah, and I think that continued. I think we had a bit of a break for over the Easter holidays. We took a bit of a break and then we went straight back into it, which is often a bit of a struggle when we've had some time off to then get back into the normal routine that we set. But he was really good with it and he's really enjoying it. And I think this has been a bit of a setback. It'll be interesting to see. So today will be our first official day of learning again after the break. And he's, to be fair, he started the day quite well, but we'll see if that continues because normally we get pushed back at that point. But I mean, I think things are changing. I think I'm very aware that he's got a place at the secondary school that we applied for. At the moment, he still thinks he's going, he still wants to go. However, he has started talking about how he's nervous about it now, which is probably good because then we can start working around that and how to prepare him best for it. And he's had something that they call transition days through, which is where I'm sure lots of parents are familiar with this, where year six children usually, or even children starting secondary school in the following academic year, go in for a few days just to meet the teachers and basically it's like a trial run for what's to come. So he knows that he's got that coming up at the beginning of July, so we'll see how that works out. But yeah, we know we've got that in the mix as well.
Does he know anyone else who's going to the transition day? Does he know any other children who are doing it?
He will know the children who are from his school that he left, and he still is in touch with a couple of those friends as well. So he will know. But I mean, I wouldn't say it's something that because it's such a big school that he's going to, I'm not sure if they'll even be in the same form or same class or any of those sorts of things. So it's going to be a case of knowing familiar faces, but not necessarily being too close to anybody. I wouldn't say he's best friends with anybody anyway in school. So it would be a case of kind of, just a familiar face, but not necessarily a best friend.
It's interesting because obviously my children haven't been into a school and they've not been put back into a school, if you see what I mean. And I'm guessing, you said that he's a bit nervous about that. And in some ways that's good because it allows you then the space to prepare him for going back into a school. But is there anything in particular you're doing to make that transition work? Are you sort of like, I don't know, like establishing more of a 9 to 3 kind of timetable? Are you anything like that?
Not yet. We probably should do something like that, but no, we're not. We're actually just maximizing on the time that we've got where we have the freedom to be able to enjoy it. He's actually going to Disneyland Paris with his dad, who's visiting from America next month. So he's really benefiting from the joys of home educating at the moment. But I completely, so up until kind of a week ago, he was like, I don't want to talk about it. We don't want to, I don't want to mention anything to do with September secondary school, even though it's his choice and he's the one who wants to do it. And I'd be quite happy if he wanted to put the brakes on, that would be fine with me. But I think over the last kind of couple of days, we started talking about what's to come. And I think the preparation is probably going to start around now, where we start thinking about, yeah, what does that look like? We do some more formal learning, or do we just maximize on our freedom for now? And then I guess it's a conversation that we're going to have, to make him feel more prepared for September. I do feel like September will be a challenge for him, and yeah, but I think, yeah, I've spoken to him about this as well and talked about how there'll always be options so he doesn't have to feel so constrained. So if it doesn't work out, there's always, we know that home educating works. We know that we've done it this year and we've really enjoyed it. We've enjoyed so many aspects of it, but he's adamant about giving secondary school a go. So yeah, let's give that our everything and see what happens.
I get the impression that for Ismail, it's not so much sitting for long periods or the academics or anything. It was more the whole experience of school that he found sort of overwhelming. So it must be quite difficult to get a sense of how do you prepare him mentally for that, I suppose.
Yeah, and I do worry that when he hasn't been in a formal educational setting for almost a year now, how he's going to do when he is actually in a place where he's being told what to do by, I mean, he's very compliant, which is not a great thing anyway, because I think that this comes sometimes, this is probably part of his problem with the masking and everything, but he's very compliant. So I know he'll do it, but it's about the stress that will cause him, and then the impact and the fallout of that when he on his mental health and all the good work we've done this year. What will that unravel? It's, there's a lot of uncertainty around that. I think my, so one of the biggest concerns was socialization at the beginning of, I think we talked about this quite a lot throughout the podcast initially anyway, because I was worried about, as many new home educating parents are worried about, whether their children are getting the opportunity to socialize and all those sorts of things. When I've seen him in situations where he has had to socialize with his peers or, you know, adults, whoever, I really have felt like he has taken it to it like a duck to water. He's really good at it. So that board game club that we do, which we've continued to do, we had to cancel on Friday because of our illness. But other than that, we do it regularly. He's really good at just, yeah, getting in there, playing with the kid, like playing appropriately with kids his age, and being able to kind of, you know, have those conversations and have fun and laugh and not feel kind of stressed. The things that you want for your children when they're in a social setting. So that all that worry that I was doing over those months, it was, I feel like it was for nothing, because actually he's fine in that setting. So I think it's a case of how it will be in a school setting where there's much more children. We get about 15 people in the in our board game club, but when he's in a class of 30, what will that look like? Or when he's, you know, with a lot of, I think transition's hard enough for children who have regularly been at school to go from secondary into, sorry, primary into secondary. But that is quite daunting. You're in a very big place, you're the youngest of the school. All those things that he's going to be contending with, how he's going to cope in socially in that regard, that's probably a bit of a concern. And then yeah, I do have a bit of concern about, have I failed him academically, which, you know, obviously is probably quite irrational, but what will happen when he's out having to answer all these questions, and is he going to be able to cope with the pressure and the pace and all those sorts of things? I mean, my gut instinct says yes, but let's see what happens.
Is there anything you're setting in place as a parent that is, I don't know, like making sure that he's able to vocalize to you what's happening at school and making sure that if he is masking at school, he's able to take that mask off when he gets home. I'm guessing that over the last year, your relationship together has really solidified as you spent so much more time together. Are you fairly confident that when you pick him up from school, he'll be happy to tell you the good and the bad and the not, and the worse.
I think at the moment I would say yes. However, we are also contending with him being a preteen. He's going to go into his teenage years in the next few months. I mean, I can already see elements of him with the moodiness and things coming out now. So, like, I can imagine next year when he's got the pressures of everything else and the whole hormonal things happen that happen at the age of kind of 12, 13, that happening as well. I think that's a different story. Right now, yeah, I think we could have those conversations. And even before, like even when he was in primary school, he was able to tell me what was wrong, but it would take a lot of kind of he would need to be completely relaxed. It all comes out at bedtime, doesn't it? So you when you first come home, it's just you ask all the questions and you try to engage and you do all these things and you don't get very much. And then just before bed, just as it's bedtime, it's kind of it all comes out in floods of emotion. That's how it was with us anyway. So I'm hoping that we can kind of, I guess, connect when I first get him from school, or when he comes home from school, do something that's maybe not low pressure, and then hopefully that will be a safe environment for him to be able to, I guess, decompress. We all need to decompress from the day. Even adults need to decompress from the day, don't they? Don't we? So I guess making sure that he's got an environment where he can do that. But I think talking to you has made me realize that I probably do need to have more of a firm plan in place going forward. I think we've both been avoiding. I think Ismail's been avoiding it, but I have as well, but burying my head in the sand with what's coming up. So I think that is something that we need to probably prepare for.
How will you as a mother cope, do you think, with because you've seen Ismail really, really settle over the last year? How will you cope with any kind of because obviously it is going to be difficult for him, even if it all goes really well. There's going to be moments when it's going to be difficult. And I would think as a mother, that would be quite hard. I think my instinct would be to try want to pull them out really quickly. If there was like the slight, like one night, like you described, one bedtime where they were in tears, I'd be like, right, that's it. We're back to home ed. But I'm guessing for you, you're going to have to balance that sort of very instinctive desire to protect him with actually a more kind of pragmatic, well, perhaps we need to give it a bit longer. Maybe it's just teething problems. How long do you give it? How many nights like that do you have? I mean, do you have a sense already of how you're going to balance that?
Yeah, so my husband and I have been talking about this because, like, I am a very all parents are protective, I think, in their own way. But I think that your instinct is like, no, let's just get him out. We know this book can work in a different way. We know that works, and especially when we've had the experience to build this confidence that we've got in home educating now. I like before when I pulled him out, I did think about it for a couple of years before actually deregistering him from school. Whereas this time, I kind of know what we need to do to get him to where he needs to be. So that will be very tempting, I think. However, I think I'd said, well, we were kind of umming and ahhing whether a term, so around Christmas time is a good time to kind of reflect because they need that time to settle in anyway. I remember, and I think I've spoken about this before, when I went to secondary school, and I loved school. I mean, I think I loved school. I think I told myself I loved school, so I think I did. But even for me, it took me a while to kind of settle in to being in a new environment and those sorts of things. So I think it's about giving it a chance and but regularly having those open conversations. If he's saying I don't want to do it and he's consistently saying that, I guess I think I'll know in my this sounds really wishy-washy, but I think I'll know in my gut if that's the right thing to do after if it's consistently happening week after week after week, then we will know that. And I have got a plan in place as well. Like I have two plans if that doesn't work out as to how we're going to progress. And he does want to sit his GCSEs. He is academic in that way that he enjoys learning, working towards things. And you've given me a lot of confidence, and also all the other like the groups that I've been following about how you can spread the GCSEs out, how you can, there's so many different ways to access GCSEs and that learning. And it doesn't have to be super expensive. It can be if you want it to be, you can do it that way, or you can, they're just so versatile that I don't feel daunted by the fact that if it doesn't work out, I'm going to be high and dry. I won't know what to do. I feel as though we have a plan. It's just about, like you said, knowing when the time is to pull him. And then also the other issue is for me explaining to family members. So my family are very involved in Ismail. Like Ismail was living with, we were all living together for like the first couple of years of his life as well. So they're very involved and invested in Ismail education in all different play areas. And I think it was really difficult for them to come to terms with the fact that I'd pulled him out for year six. But the way that they, I guess, and I never said this to them, the way that they made sense of it was that he was really struggling at the school that he was in, and it's a temporary thing, and he's going to go into secondary school. It has, for some reason, for whatever reason, worked out that that is Ismail's plan as well in his mind, that he's going to go to secondary school in year seven. However, they've already started talking to him about kind of, so you're looking forward to getting back to school? Are you looking forward to all the things that you're going to do when you're at school? They mean well, completely mean well, as a lot of extended families do, but they don't properly understand His needs, as in what he's very different with me and in behind closed doors than he is when he's obviously with a wider family and things like that. So I think explaining to them, or yeah, they might be more resistant to it. Of course, it's my choice, but I think it's the having to justify yourself is exhausting, isn't it? When you have to, you've already done it. I've just done it. I've justified myself, and then if I have to do it again, kind of in another few months, it's going to be yeah, it's gonna that's going to be something that I'm not looking forward to. Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There's always that time when, and that's the exact approach I took, was to sort of emphasize that it was temporary, and then temporary just became this constant temporary that never became anything else. And after a while, they just stopped asking. But I'm guessing that because it's been temporary, and then you're putting him back in, and then if you take him back out, it's gonna be a whole new cycle of having to justify your
Yeah.
decision, yeah, which is exhausting in advance. But I mean, the positive is that they've seen him flourish over the last year. So you have that to kind of point to say, well, you know, he loved it and he's chosen it again, as have I. So you've got that to say. And I mean,
Yeah, of course.
I wanted to ask you about your board game club, because 15 people coming to your board game club, that is a major win. Like that's fabulous.
Growing, it grows every week, every 2 weeks it grows. So yeah, it's going really well. I think people are bringing their own games if they want to. We've obviously all got the games that I've already purchased, and we reuse those as well. So, but people are, you know, bringing other people with them. It's a really nice place. It's a really chilled out, like, time for there's no pressure. There's lots of table set up. You can go wherever you want. You can play on your own if you want to, or you can play with an adult, or because there's lots of adults that are coming and engaging as well. So it's actually going really, really well. I think Ismail tends to, because it tends to be there's about, I think, three or four that are actually Ismail's age, and the rest tend to be a bit younger, kind of seven, eight, that kind of age, and then even younger than that. So he does stick to the same people, but I think that's purely because of age. But there's a lot of kind of, I think a lot of people are getting a lot out of it, which is good. It's not just for, even though, I mean, selfishly, I set it up for him. But obviously, the good things that come up are the benefits. You can see those from, even for me to interact with other parents who are home educating. And they have told me about other clubs and things that are going on, which I haven't been able to join in with just because of my work commitments and things like that at this point. But there are other things that are going on that we could potentially join in with. So it's going really well. I'm really glad I did it. I'm really pleased that I took that leap and did it.
Yeah, well done, because that is a scary leap, and it sounds like it's paid off really, really well for you. The other children that he tends to play with that are similar age, are there any that you think might be sort of one-to-one play date potentials?
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, I think it's just a case of, I think it's maybe I need to make it more frequent as well, because it's every other week. It's quite difficult to, they get like an hour and a half or 2 hours almost together, and then they don't see each other again for 2 weeks. I think that they definitely have the bones there of kind of building a friendship or friendships there. So it's definitely something worth looking at and maybe getting in on actually earlier. To be fair, I had thought about that. It was in the back of my mind, but I've not actually actioned it in any way. So it's something that's come to the front of my mind. I certainly can look into that. But yeah, I think you'd have a great time with them outside of that board game. Well, now, in fact, after the while I'm tidying up the board games, it's in a community centre. While I'm tidying things up, there's a park, like a playground just outside, and a lot of the kids often go out and play with their parents while I'm packing away. I get a bit of help from the parents packing them away, and he always asks to go and play with them. So I think that shows me that he'd be really comfortable seeing them outside of that setting as well, just not just the board game, free play outside, which is something that I thought might be harder to do. You know, you don't know somebody, free play is sometimes a difficult one to do. But I think he's built a relationship enough to want to go and play. He's always like, you always need to go early, because I do actually normally have to be back to pick up the other one, like things like that. And he'd rather go out and play with the kids for a bit longer than, but he has a good half an hour with them after the board game club. But yeah, it's never enough.
Yeah.
So that is a good point. We could definitely do something.
That's what I was going to suggest, actually, was meeting them a bit earlier or staying a bit later. And if there was anywhere outside, because I found that worked really nicely, was if you were meeting up, we used to go to a drama thing every single week. And but sometimes if it was nice weather, we would all meet up an hour earlier and go to the playground first, or we would all hang around a little bit afterwards and go to a coffee shop and things like that. And that's very nice because the children have sort of an extended time, and I always found that was a really nice way of getting an idea of what sort of friendships might flourish as one-to-one friendships.
That's a good idea. I think I should probably prioritize that and maybe keep my eye out, like in a see what happens when they are free playing and seeing who he is gravitating towards and see if that's something that the parents would be happy to kind of it's a good foundation, isn't it, to I guess extend the friendship and yeah, that's a good idea.
How are you finding the actual educating, the kind of curriculum subjects? How are you finding that? Because you've been doing it now for like what, seven, about 7, 8 months, and so you must now have a quite a solid idea of how Ismail learns and what subjects he really thrives in, which ones he struggles in. Are you finding it an interesting process to understand him more academically?
Yeah, definitely. I think what I thought at the beginning in September of what where his strengths lay and his weaknesses were aren't necessarily that. It's just that it was never presented to him in a way that was appealing to him, I guess. So I think from an academic point of view, I'm really glad, and this is something if you can afford it, I would 100% advise getting some help if you can with things like tutors. So I was getting really overwhelmed, and the tutor that I have for maths has really just taken a bit of that pressure off me, so that I know that he's always got maths work set every day. I can keep an eye on it and certainly have a look to see, but it's not, I don't feel like it all falls to me. And he is strong in maths. I think he is strong in maths for sure, but I think he always said that maths was his favorite subject. However, I've seen his interest towards like other things that aren't maybe traditional. So I guess history is a really big one. He loves researching history and going and learning about new things. He loves geography and things. So he's gotten a really he's I think he, I think now this might sound a little bit grandiose, a little bit maybe like I'm blowing his trumpet, but I think if he loves flight sim, the game where you can actually fly planes, but he loves researching the airports and the where they are and the climates and all those sorts of things, and he really gets a lot of learning out of that. And then he loves showing me, and he loves like doing the flights and all those sorts of things. So I think academically, he with the basics, maths, English, those sorts of things, I don't think he's ever going to be a kid who likes to sit down and I hate to say this and just read a book. I don't think that he that's something that he's ever going to I guess really enjoy. At one point I thought we had gotten to a point right at the beginning where I thought, oh, he's actually reading and he's enjoying it, but yeah, we've not had much success there. But he's reading lots of other things because he's reading a lot of non-fiction online or whatever he's doing in other areas. So it's not that he's a bad reader, he's just not something that he's particularly interested in. And yeah, I can see that his I think his areas of interest come from history and like geography, the world around us, real life scenarios and things like that. So that's good to know, and it's good to use those, I guess, leverage them in other learning as well.
It sounds amazing learning for him to be researching all the different airports that planes stop at and their climate and everything. Sounds a really classic home education kind of project to do that. Sounds wonderful. Well, I think it sounds like despite your illness, it sounds like April is April was carrying on very much in the same positive vein. So do you have plans for May? What do you have sort of lined up?
Yep, so I think I know that in September when he goes into his secondary school, he's going to be doing something that they call transition assessments or assessments when they so yeah, so basically with he's not taking the SATs. A lot of the year six children right now will be taking SATs kind of in the next couple of weeks. He won't be doing that. And I've never been a big let's do SATs. However, I do think that he needs to be prepared for the kind of questions that he's going to be tested on when he goes into secondary school. We've got plenty of time, we've got the whole term to focus on it. We can take it at our own pace. So I'm just going to change the way we do things a little bit by including kind of half an hour of exam questions or the style of questions that he will be getting when he is in secondary school in September. So maybe inputting that into our routine a little bit, but at the same time letting him to continue to run with the things that he's really enjoying, because I wouldn't want to. I mean, he does that without even realizing he's learning. He thinks he learns for like 3 hours of the day, but he doesn't. He does a lot more than that, but he doesn't even realize he's doing it. So that's the letting him continue with his passions, I think, is really important. But at the same time, helping him get a bit more prepared for September.
Yeah, that sounds a lovely plan for May, and hopefully if the weather's good, some of these lessons can be done outside, which is also one of the joys of home education.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, looking forward to that.
Well, thank you so much for joining me again today for our podcast, and I will see you, Ash, for our May retrospective.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us for today's Home Education Matters podcast. See you at the next one. Have a lovely day.